Thanks for choosing to listen to another City Point West podcast. I trust that this message empowers and encourages you to continue your journey of faith. Enjoy.
Chapter 3, if you're in the house, book of Titus chapter 3. If you have a Bible, if you have a notepad, today is the day to be using it. If you don't, we do have up on the screens, you can use your phones. Just block Facebook and Instagram and TikTok for the next couple of hours. That'd be great. Next half an hour, that'd be amazing. A.W. Tozer, one of the great revivalists, made this statement. He said, "We must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than the whole Bible can make a whole Christian." What a statement. Listen, that was a statement made probably 50 years ago. But can I just say that 50-year-old statement probably never was more important than in the TikTok age that we live in today. We jump on TikTok, we see somebody talking about something in the Bible, we see a 10-second clip about it, and we build our whole theology off a TikTok 10-second clip, and we have no idea what the Bible is even about in those situations. The book of Titus is written, to give you context, is written to a young man by the name of Titus. He is a disciple of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul has traveled and has seen people won to Christ. He is a Jewish man who himself had an incredible encounter and came to Jesus Christ. If you're brand new in the house, you don't know any of this, let me just give you some context of this letter that was written to Titus. It was written to Titus, who had followed Paul, walked with Paul, been a key part of just seeing Paul outreaching into different areas, and had been a leader in a number of different churches. He'd been with Paul to Corinth, and in Corinth, he'd spent some time just evangelizing, now teaching and training Christians and discipling people. They went to Paul to a place called Crete. Now, if you aren't a person that's great with geography, Crete is in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. It is an island and a makeup of a bunch of cities at the time. That was a really, really wild place. Back in those days, the Cretans were known for a number of things. First and foremost, they were known as really crazy warriors. The Cretans would travel all over and fight for money. They were the sort of guys that would go and you'd get like, who's the baddest dudes around? Let's get the guys from Crete. We'll pay them money to come and fight for us. Because they were killers, they were mercenaries, they were wild, wild people. And this comes from the reality that they'd built a god by the name of Zeus, who was a person that had lived there, they said, in mythology, and was a wild warrior. He wasn't just a warrior, he was a womanizer, he was a liar, he was a guy that went around just basically trying to sleep with lots and lots of women. He was a messed up guy who they made into their god. Listen, if you're a watcher of Marvel, you've probably seen the rubbish that we see on television today, and we see all these gods, and Zeus is the guy. Listen, this came from Crete, and it was mythology. And listen, if you're watching Marvel too much and you're getting your theology from there as well, listen, right now, get on your knees and repent, because that stuff's crap, in Jesus' name. We're getting into the Word of God, into what is actual truth. Can I have an amen from somebody that's ready for this today? So he was writing to Titus, who was in this stage in Crete. Now, Crete was a great example of what their god was. All the things that their god was a representation for, Crete was the same. If people would talk about Cretans, they would say they're great warriors and they're liars and womenizers. Listen, Crete was filled with baby mamas and baby daddies. It was filled with messed up situations and it was a broken, broken place. Now, Paul and Titus went there and they started to evangelize. Paul continued on with his journeys and he writes back to the leader that stayed there in young Titus, who's trying to lead a church in a challenging, challenging community. In Titus chapter 3, Paul addresses some powerful theology. He's spoken to the Ephesus church about this. He's spoken to the Corinthian church about this. But let's pick it up in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, and we're going to read through to verse 8. "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, He saved us, not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sin, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out His Spirit upon us through Jesus, our Savior, because of His grace. He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will have and inherit eternal life. Listen, there is powerful theology wrapped up in these couple of verses. Paul writes to them and he starts and simply makes a statement. We were once messed up, broken people. Now, I want you to remember, he's writing to Titus, who's leading a church in Crete. Predominantly, the people in Crete were Gentiles. They weren't Jewish people. They weren't grown up in the law. They'd grown up in brokenness and mess. And now he writes to them and says, hey, we're all pretty messed up when we came to Jesus Christ. He's not writing to a bunch of lovely Christian, wonderful people that have now formed a church. He's writing to messed up, broken heathens, like most of us in the room, that have had an encounter with Jesus Christ. We've come alive to Christ, come alive to the goodness of God. And now he's saying, hey, listen, we were messed up, slaves to our sin, slaves to evil pleasures, slaves to lust and brokenness, full of evil, full of envy. We hated each other. Paul, the Jewish man, writing to the Gentiles, we hated each other, but now we've come to Christ through His incredible grace. He says, when God, our Savior, revealed His kindness and love, I want you to remember He's writing about a different God than these people have grown up worshiping. These people have grown up worshiping a warrior, womanizing liar who was debaucherous and full of brokenness. Now he's saying, the God that we now have found and encountered isn't that same messed up God of hatred and brokenness. He's a God of kindness and love. He saved us, not because of what we had done, but because of the mercy, He washed away our sins. Listen, for the people that are in this church, this is an important statement. He washed away our sins. Listen, in 2024, this is just as important as ever. He washed away our sins. But He didn't just wash away our sins. Paul doesn't leave it there and say, He's washed away our sins, continue on in your debauchery. He says, He's washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Paul says, hey, people of Crete, your sins have been washed away. You are filthy Gentiles that have grown up in mess, grown up in brokenness, grown up in despair. Your sins have been washed away through the grace in Jesus Christ. But He's also come through that grace and given you birth and new life, given you a place of change and transformation. I want to just remind us Christians here in this room today, we have been saved by grace through faith. This is Paul's truth and reality, that Jesus Christ has saved us by grace through faith. But it's not just salvation to continue with easy, dirty grace. It's salvation to continue in His grace into transformation in our lives. Paul says right here, there is new life that has come to you. There is transformation that has come for you. And He has generously poured out His Holy Spirit through your Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of the grace, He has made us right in His sight and has given us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. He wraps up this statement by saying this in verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on teaching so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Listen, if you know the book of Titus, he's actually just wrapping up the whole book. He's leading into his goodbyes, and I miss you guys, and I want to come and see you again sometime soon. He's leading into that, but he leads into it with this statement of saying, all of these things that I've said are really, really good for you, and you need to listen to them, and you need to get them on the inside of you because they're important for your life. But listen, he's not just talking about these three preceding verses. He's not just talking about the revelation of grace. He's actually talking about the preceding chapter. I want you to remember, Paul didn't write in verse and chapter. we have got verse and chapter now so that we can just go, oh, let's not unwrap the scroll and go like here. We have verse and chapter so we can say, hey, let's go to this part of our Bible and we can pick it up and we can read it there. Those verse and chapters were added after. This was a letter that was just written to people. And in this letter, he's wrapping it up saying, hey, everything I've said right now is really important for you. And it's stuff that you should know and stuff that you should think on and stuff that you should understand. Listen, to really understand the fullness of what Paul was saying, we've got to jump back the preceding chapter. Can we do that? In Titus chapter 2. Because this is given the context of his revelation of grace and his discussion about grace. He's talking about how we as believers should be actually living our lives. Let me remind you who he's writing to. He's writing to a culture that was filled with promiscuous living, that people would lie and would steal. He was talking about a culture where people would just go to war. They were angry. They were bitter. He's talking to a culture that is filled with baby mamas and baby daddies and women that had babies to lots of different men because they come back from war and then they go back to war and then they just now living by themselves, raising single kids. And this culture has been intertwined by the brokenness of relationships and the mess up of family community. Listen, that's nothing like the culture we live in today, I know. I understand that this is not relevant in any way to 2024 and the culture we live in because we don't have baby daddies and baby mamas going all over the city and all this business going on. But let's just try and pretend it's relevant to all of us today. That was sarcasm for all those that missed it in the house. Verse 1. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Titus, this young man who's also a Gentile. He's not a Jewish boy. He's a Gentile boy. He's there speaking and trying to build the lives of these Gentiles that have come to Christ. He's saying, hey, Titus, young man, I know you're working in a messed up, broken down community and culture. Do your best to teach people to live in a wholesome, wonderful, godly way. In a place that your life can reflect what is actually the right way to live with your life. Teach people to outwork their lives in this way, and it is a powerful thing. Verse 2, he says, now teach the older men to exercise self-control. Listen, I know you might be nudging some people in the room and say, this is for you. Paul doesn't leave anybody in the next couple of chapters. Fingers go pointing everywhere in this whole deal. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And everyone in the room gets pointed at, and he speaks to us about our lives and how we should live. So before you go doing any nudging, just prepare to get nudged back in a few moments. He says, teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Listen, what I'm going to do today is simply 2024 the living daylights out of this scripture. I want to break it down for how it fits for all of us as best I can in the remaining time that I have this morning. Teach older men. If you're in this room and you're getting old, this is for you in the house. If you're not sure if that's you, it probably is. Teach the older men to exercise self-control. You know, if there's anything terrible in this world, it's a picture and a reality of dirty old men. What is a dirty old man? A dirty old man is a dirty young man that never learnt self-control, and they carry their brokenness into their future. He says, old men, learn self-control. If you're not sure what you need to be controlling, number one, control your eyes. Control what you look at. Do not blame women for what they wear. Listen, young women in the room, don't go nudging. Remember, we're coming back to you. But don't go blaming young women for where your eyes go. I want to speak to the men of God in this room. Learn self-control around our eyes. Learn self-control around what we look at, what our eyes go to. Make sure that we are disciplined in our eyes, disciplined in how we look, disciplined in where we go. Be disciplined in anger. Be disciplined with your attitude. Be disciplined with what comes out of the frustrations of your life. Listen, men in the room, I know many of you under pressure financially, many of you under pressure in areas of your life. And out of that can spring, through the lack of self-control, anger, bitterness, resentfulness. Let me just be really clear. Paul writes and says, older men, mature men in the room, make sure you build self-control around that area of your life. Build self-control, men, right now, around your sexual actions. Listen, if you're in this house and you're running from woman to woman, right now, stop it. It is ungodly and it is sin. And I want to be really clear. Stop that behavior. It's ungodly behavior. This is the behavior Paul was addressing so strongly in people's lives. Listen, build self-control around this area of your life. If what you're watching again in your time alone is wrong on the internet, on the television, on place in your life, stop it. Pray. Allow God to heal that in your life. Get some other men around you that can keep you in a place of self-control. Help you get back and gain it in your life. Self-control around your words, how you speak, what comes out of your mouth, around your addictions. Listen, if you've been bound by addiction over a long period of time, again, allow somebody to walk with you until you can gain self-control. Help others to walk with you, to build around your life, to see it change. He says, gain and exercise self-control and be worthy of respect. Listen to the man in the room. He doesn't say, and wherever you go, demand respect. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, because you're older men, everyone should respect you, so you get respect wherever you... He doesn't say that. What is his words? Be worthy of respect. Listen, if you're a man in this room and you demand respect and you're not worthy of respect, understand Paul was saying, yes, men, you should have respect. You should be respected. But be worthy of respect. Listen, man, if you walk around eyeing up every young woman and demanding respect, you will not get it from me. Because it's not worthy of respect. Listen, if you walk around and your behavior sexually is inappropriate and wrong and ungodly, you won't get respect from me. Because he says, be worthy of respect. Make sure we live in a lifestyle and a way of being worthy of respect. And he goes on and says, and live wisely. Live wisely. Wisely in your finances. Wisely in your sexuality. Wisely in your parenting. Allow wisdom to come around your life and who God has created you to be. Just remember, Paul comes back and says, hey, we were saved by grace. All of us have messed up and failed and broken. We made some mistakes. You might be in this room going, I've made some mistakes, Pastor Tim. Hey, listen. Paul comes back to the end and reminds every one of us, we have stuffed up, we've messed up, and we get to come back to his grace and say, come Holy Spirit, bring new life inside of me and change me. If you're in this room and you're feeling guilty right now and there's areas of your life that you messed up, the grace of God is what saved you. You're not saved by acting wisely, doing these things. This comes through the grace of God as the Holy Spirit's activated in us and brings transformation as people walk with us, help us, and establish the Word of God and the truth of the kingdom of God in our lives. He goes and says, they must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Can I have an amen from every man in the room that knows how difficult patience is? Can I have an amen from somebody that feels me right now? The patience in the room in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit of God, bring that spirit of patience to us. Especially as cranky old men right now in Jesus' name. And that's the time for the wives to be nudging your husbands. And getting prepped to be nudged back in a few minutes. That we would be full of wisdom, living wisely. That they must have sound faith. What is sound faith? Listen, sound faith is established in the Word of God. Sound faith is established not on TikTok for 10 seconds of the Word of God. Sound faith is not established because I watched a YouTube video and some crazy guy was like talking about Methuselah and what he actually meant when Enoch did this and some other crazy rubbish. What is found is in the Word of God, and it builds sound faith of truth of the Word of God in our lives. Come back to the Word of God and the truth of it. Know it. and let sound faith grow, that you be filled with love and patience. Of love. The dads in the room, love is essential to you. It's essential to you as husbands. It's essential to you as fathers. You'd love your wives, you'd love your kids, you know how to outwork love in your life. Listen, if you've grown up with a loveless father and it's something that you struggle with, allow the Spirit of God to come and heal that in your life. I know that many men grow up with loveless fathers. Allow love to come. Verse 3. Similarly, teach the older women, and I struggle saying those two words together. Forgive me, ladies. If you're not sure if it's you, it's probably not because you are so young and beautiful in the house. Teach the more mature, gorgeous women. This is 21st century adding to it. To live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. Let me break this down to the more mature, wonderful women in the house. And I'm keeping my eyes down and not looking at anyone right now. To live in a way that honors God. I want you to note that he starts and says, doesn't speak about a way that honors God, that you would live in a way that honors God. It is so important in this culture to live in a way that honors who God is, that lives in a way, not speaks about it, not tells others what, but lives in a way that honors God in your life, that you carry that. They must not slander others. Isn't it funny? We rewind 2,000 years ago. What was one of the challenges to women? Not saying that it is today, because I'm not a woman and it's dangerous to say. But gossip was a challenge. Again, I know none of you in this room have ever been a part of gossip or encountered it in your life. But yeah, are you coughing there, John? And that was elbow back time, was it? Right, no, it wasn't. Definitely not woman of God down the front here. He says, don't be gossipers. Be careful. Be careful that you don't become the gossip. Be careful you don't become the one that just talks to others about everything that's going on. You know, we can disguise gossip in, I just need to let these people know what's happening. If that's you in the room right now, in Jesus' name, repent. And that was a joke as well, in case you missed it. Let's keep on going with our message. Do not be heavy drinkers. You know, we read in Ecclesiastes earlier on last year. It says the only joy that some people know is that joy of drunkenness and that joy of being that way. What a sad sight that it would be an issue in so many issues in life that it's washed away with alcohol and washed away with what that is. He says, hey, don't let that be your place of healing. And I want to speak to you right now. Maybe that's a challenge in your world. And if it is, allow the Holy Spirit to come and heal that. Because it's a great place of challenge that in your life that you would be battling through this area of life. And I understand that sometimes it's the band-aid of healing. Don't allow it to be, because it's not God's band-aid for your life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit to actually come and heal those areas of your life. He goes on and says, instead, they should teach others what is good. I want you to notice what he says here. He says, instead. He doesn't say, hey, do all that stuff and teach others what is good. He said, women, don't be that way. Instead of being that way, be women that teach others what is good. What is he saying? He's saying the best way to teach a young woman, another person, what is good is to live it, to act it, and to outwork it. Because when people are seeing you live it, outwork it, and acting it out, that's what they're going to outwork. Listen, for the aunties in the room that love lecturing the young women in the house, that is amazing and awesome. I am grateful that you love the young women and want to direct them. But make sure that when you're directing them, you're directing them with your life as well. Because this is exactly what Paul is saying. He said, it's not just what comes out of your mouth, it's how we live that is so important to all of these things in our lives. He goes on in verse 4. And he says, these older women must train the younger women how to love their husbands and their children, how to live wisely and pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. I want to remind you Not just tell the younger women how to do it and mess up your own life. That's not what he says. He says, instead of messing up your own life, now live your life that you can show the younger women in the house, that you can teach the younger women. You can show them with your life, the older women, the mature, wonderful, godly, beautiful women in the house. Train the younger women with your life that they would love their husbands and their children, that they'd outwork this great joy. Now listen, I want to be really clear. I'm not saying that the Bible tells every woman in the house, you've got to be a wife and a baby producer. That is not what I'm saying right now. Let me just be really clear. That's not even what Paul was trying to say. He was just trying to say, in a messed up culture right now, where homes are on the head, baby mamas are running around and baby daddies are running around everywhere and it's all messy and it's all broken, it's all ugly. Train the younger women that one of the most powerful things is the beautiful building together of marriages and homes and shining that, because in the healing of homes, we get to a place where we're not getting young men and women growing up in broken environment, not knowing what actually, not being loved by mom and dad, but they're coming into a place where mom and dad can love them, lead them, grow with them, help them and establish what God actually intended for marriage, community, and the kingdom of God. Listen, one of the most essential parts of community is family. And Paul isn't trying to just tell young women, you've got to be moms, you've got to be this. He's trying to say, listen, when we bring family back together, we heal community. Listen, this is 2,000 years ago, but it is essential and it is true. Never been truer than today. This is a way of healing our community. You'd show the young women how to love their husbands and how to love their children. How to live wisely and be pure. How to live wisely. Wisely? Wisely in how to choose a marriage partner. Listen, you're trying to love a husband that's a loser. You picked him. Deal with it. It's a covenant relationship. And the kingdom of God is in the middle of that covenant relationship. And I know you don't like it right now, but it's a covenant relationship that God's in the middle of. Deal with it. Work it through. Let's build it. There's issues to be worked out. Let's work them out. Get godly people around you that can help you do that. Live wisely. If you want to live wisely, start by picking the right husband in the start. If you've already done it, you already picked it, you're in a covenant relationship. Listen, unless there's biblical means to walk out of it, you're in it. Deal with it. Work forward in it. But beforehand, young people over this side, you've got a choice. Make it a good one. Let the older women help you make a wise choice. For my daughters, let me make the choice for you. That'd be even better. Live wisely. Live wisely in choosing your partners. Live wisely in finances. Listen, if you're in this room and you're struggling financially, I understand we live in a tough day. But let wisdom come around your finances. Listen, we have some wonderful men and women of God in this house that have been fantastic in their finances and built lives effectively. If you're struggling, sit down and ask somebody, how do I build this financial area? How do I get to a place that I can have overflow to sow into the kingdom of God, to bless somebody around me? How do I build financial security around my life? Let people speak. He says here, older women, train the younger women how to be wise with your finances, to live wisely. And purely in your sexuality. Listen, young women in this room, he's talking about that area of your sexuality that you would make sure you keep purity around your life. I know that's unpopular in this generation to talk about, but let purity come around your life and who you are and your actions and in your words, in how you speak. Live wisely and pure, to work in their homes, to do good, be submissive to their husbands. I know we hate the reality of that statement, be submissive to your husbands, because husbands love to hold that back against their wives. But let me tell you, when Paul speaks to the Ephesians church, he says, be submissive to one another. If you understand the power of submission, you understand what it means. Paul's simply saying this, that you learn how to actually come together. In a culture and a community, when individualism and doing my own thing is outworked a lot, he's saying this, learn how to just knit your hearts, knit your lives, come together under leadership and direction that God is the center of and God is leading and guiding us. And it is a powerful, powerful thing. and I'm nearly out of time, but let me kick the young men before we go. And he says this, and in the same way, teach the young men. And in the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. Now, you may read this and he's like, he just said a couple of words about the young guys. He says, and in the same way. So this is what he's saying. Everything I just said about the young women, you need to teach the young men the exact same thing. You need to teach the young men exactly what you're talking about to the young women. Can I just be clear? Sometimes we like, young women, you need to be pure, but young men, you need to go and do your own thing. Listen, if you're teaching your young men that, my foot up your backside as well as theirs. Let me be really clear. Young men in the room, if you think that promiscuous living is your right as a man, that is rubbish, that is ungodly, that is not the kingdom of God. You need to understand, if you want to be good enough for my daughters living that life, you will never be. And my foot will still be going up your backside. Because God is talking about a way of living. And listen, he's saying, young men and young women, have purity around your lives. Have purity around your thinking. Have purity around your sexuality. Have purity around the world. Listen, I understand this is unpopular to talk about in 21st century. And we just say we're going to live however. But we're going to be clear what the Word of God says. Now, let me stop right here. Men, women, all of us. You may have been areas of your life where haven't outworked purity. I want to remind you what I started with. The Apostle Paul said, listen, it is beautiful grace that saves and transforms all of us. If you walk into this room and your life's been messy and broken, praise God for the grace of God. You don't need to come in perfect. You come in and say, God, I open my life to your grace and your transforming power on the inside of me that changes, heals, delivers, and transforms who I am. I did this all across this room. Even the guys with their Sunday best, the leaders in the house, they walked in here and said, Jesus, we need your grace. We need your mercy. We need you to transform us. All of us are the same. But once we find Christ in that, there's a place of transformation. And that's what Paul's addressing right here. He's saying, in the same way, man. And let me just come back and remind you what he says. In the same way, make sure that you're learning to live wisely. Wisely in your thinking. Wisely in your finances. Wisely in choosing a partner. Listen, men. The Bible talks about a nagging wife being like the dripping tap and the pain of all that. Better off being alone by yourself than the pain of... Choose wisely. Make sure you do. Make sure you choose wisely. And listen, get some others' advice on that, because there's some beautiful women that are going to be dripping taps in your life in Jesus' name. Listen, we're in the Word of God. Is this okay? And we're out of time in this. There's so much more for us. Let's just pray. Let's pray. I'll come back and kick the guys again when we start next time I'm getting back into this message. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that's in this house. Your grace and your mercy. Every single one of us come to you broken. We do. We come to you without grace, we are nothing. Without grace, we are a mess. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth in your word that teaches us how to grow, how to build our lives, establish who we are, establish ourselves back into the kingdom of God. God, I pray right now, there may be people in this room that have walked in here not even sure about you, Jesus, not knowing you, not encountering your grace. I pray for them right now. I pray that they would find the grace of God around their lives. That open their hearts to the goodness of God. Open their hearts to healing. Open their hearts to peace. Open their hearts to your goodness, my God. As we close here this morning, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're in this room, you don't know Jesus, you're not walking with him, and that grace for you sounds like a wonderful thing. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor Tim, I want the grace of God. I want to open my life to Christ and his goodness and his mercy. Maybe you dragged with you a bunch of mess into this room. I'm here to tell you it's the grace of God that's here today for you. He loves you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to bring miracle to who you are. I feel like that today. You want just Jesus in your life. Just give me a wave today and say, yeah, I need him in my world. Maybe you've known Christ before and you walked away saying, Pastor Tim, I want to come back quickly today across this room. I need Jesus. I need him in my world. Pray for me before we go. Anyone like that today? One more time across this room. My God, I pray for us all right now. God, as we head out today, God, let us head out in truth, knowing truth, the goodness of God, the promises of God, the Word of God. Let us continue to devour the Word and all that it speaks to us and speaks to our lives. I pray in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name.
I know this message will keep speaking to you as you continue your day. So for more information about City Point West, jump on citypointchurch.com or follow our social media accounts, Instagram, City Point West, or our Facebook, City Point Church West. Have a great day.